Welcome to Career Tools. This week, what your resume says. And as Mike would say, here we go. So this week, we take a couple of sample resumes. We asked for samples, and we expected 10 or 20?
A few.
And we got...
100.
100. We got 100 resumes. Guys, we're not going to commit to going through all 100, but Wendy and I have agreed that we're going to do 10 casts of two each as a minimum. And depending upon the response we get back and how they're helpful to you, we'll continue on with the rest. And for those of you who don't know, these resumes will be posted online. So if you're listening to this and you haven't looked at the resumes yet, we encourage you to pause and go get those resumes and look at them before you listen to our guidance, because our guidance may not be clear without understanding the resume we're looking at. And believe me, the diversity of resumes we got was astounding. Fair? Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Abso-freaking-lutely. Okay, so basically the background here is the cast was started as a question. How could we help people understand how their resumes are read by people like you and me, recruiters, interviewers, people who get resumes all the time and have to look at them? Wendy and I, having looked at many and having helped people get jobs as well, we know what you want to say, and yet we know how that's often interpreted differently, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's something you're trying to say, and you put something in there that you think is a positive, and we either don't read it, or we read it differently to the way you read it. Or you think you're hiding something, and we're looking for you hiding things.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we just spotted that.
And some people, because there are so many people hiding things, some people aren't hiding things, but they engage in behaviors not knowing any better that appears to be hiding, which then goes to the issue of, is this person being honest with us?
Exactly.
Because all we have is a sheet of paper, which we know is not a full and complete, accurate description of you. And yet, we're left with not interviewing every person in the world in order to come up with the people we ultimately hire. Okay, so we started out with the first 20, okay? We've anonymized the resumes, guys. We've given them names from characters on the TV shows The Waltons, which is still, I think, in reruns, is it not?
Yeah, that's why we picked it, because we figured lots of people would have seen it and know it.
Actually, I think we've chosen poorly, because I think almost no one has heard of The Waltons, but that's okay.
Oh, well.
They'll be typical Southern American names. And we've removed phone numbers and addresses, but other than that, and anonymizing them in terms of phone numbers and so on, they are identical.
They're exactly what we received.
Yes. We're not going to go over the format of resumes. Actually, I am a little bit, because your format matters. But we're not going to stress on that so much as we are some of the content. What we read, which may be different than what they intended to say, right?
Exactly.
Good. Okay, so let's get started, okay? And I think the first will be Mamie Baldwin, is that
Mamie
right?
Mamie Baldwin, okay. Who I think was the telephone operator, remembering.
In the Waltons.
In the Waltons.
Yes, okay.
In the Waltons.
In her resume.
In her resume, she is an IT technician. She's been working in IT...
30 years.
Middleware-ish, for about 30 years.
Yeah.
For a long time for IBM. And
Okay, let's agree. IBM, what's your first thought?
You can't wrong buying IBM.
Right, boom, immediate.
And you can't go wrong working for IBM.
Yeah.
And I did too, so of course I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
But the maxim, you can't go wrong buying IBM, goes for working for them too.
So yes.
In theory, first off, she's got a great history, and she's probably got some great experience.
Right.
The first thing, though, we think when we download her resume and print it out, and the printer keeps going, churn.
Right.
There are four pages. And my heart just sinks when I see four pages.
Okay, you say your heart sinks that you have to read it. Dude, I'm not reading that.
No.
Do you really, when you see four pages, do you go, oh, I have to look over that? Is that what you think? Because that's not what I think.
Yeah.
It's an immediate negative.
It is absolutely an immediate negative. But if you're receiving resumes, as in my job as a person who received resumes and had to review them for a hiring manager, I had to make sure that that I wasn't missing something of quality.
Yeah.
So I was required to read them.
Yeah.
And yes, my heart would sink.
Yeah. So four pages is way too long.
It's way too long.
Yeah. And okay, so that's the recruiter side. Here's the hiring manager side for me. Dead on arrival. And look, Mamie, or whomever you are, I don't know whether it's male or female, irrelevant. I like some of your experience. I will not ever get there though. Guys, you don't want to know what I think about getting 4-page resumes. You just don't. Okay, wait. That's what this cast is about,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
What I think is that she thinks she's a genius. She thinks publications matter because mm-hmm. there's on the 4th page, guys, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of publications, which maybe they do to someone other than 99% of the hiring managers in the world.
Absolutely.
Right? Now, okay, if she was going to work at Carnegie Mellon, which is one of the most prestigious software development colleges in the country, in Pittsburgh. Why Carnegie Mellon ever ended up in Pittsburgh, I guess it's because Carnegie was a steel guy. But Carnegie Mellon is a fabulous school. If she were going to be a professor there,
oh,
maybe.
Yeah, in
maybe.
Academia,
although not on the 4th page.
Yeah,
right.
Academia, publications matter.
Yeah. But and by the way, when I say when I think she's a genius, guys, that's a negative.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I don't want you to think you're a genius. I want you to be a genius.
And to prove it on the piece of paper.
Exactly.
Yeah, the fact that you think you are doesn't matter.
And the fact that there are publications and it's 4 pages and it's filled with all kinds of technical stuff, which, guys, I'm not against technical stuff, but I am against this much detail, which I can suss out in 1 page very easily.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty smart about it. What I get the impression of is that this person thinks that their technical knowledge or their level of depth is more that academic knowledge, if you will, is more important than business results.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there is no point in publishing a publication if you do not work in academia. There
yes.
is no point in publishing a publication unless it has value for your company.
Right.
The fact that you publish something is great for you, and it gives you a warm feeling, and people
yeah.
read your stuff, and it read our stuff, and I feel awesome about it.
And it's good. It's actually good. We know that makes you smart. But guys, you can't put everything in your life in the resume.
No.
So it's not that we're against publications at all. In fact, if we had time to read 4 pages, we would say this person probably has more depth of knowledge than somebody else who doesn't. But we're not going to get to the 4th page, and we know there's enough knowledge out there about resumes being shorter that this is a sign to us, and we're looking for signs. And here's something else, and I want to be totally clear about this. Guys, what we're drawing the conclusions of, how we're drawing the conclusions, we're not saying we believe that to be true about you. We're telling you how recruiters feel when we read your resume. You may not be this person, this Mamie Baldwin person, may not be a technical person who wants to go into academia. If that's true, that you're not that person, we want you to know that you're not helping your case.
Exactly.
That's the point we're saying. Guys, we're not saying we're against that. We want you to understand what we think when we read what we're reading. So please, Wendy and I have gone back and forth. In fact, I think we had these for a couple of months, mm-hmm. and I hesitated because I was afraid we were going to rain on people's parade. But I can see a lot to like in this resume, and I know that 98% of the recruiters I know wouldn't even cast a second glance past the 1st page, which we're going to come to in a minute, let alone the 4th page.
Yeah. How I feel about these telling you what we read into these resumes is kind of like knowing that you have a button undone on your shirt and you're exposing your belly button. You don't know what you're doing, and we want to tell you in a way that prevents you embarrassing yourself.
Yes. Okay. So, folks, just for the record, Mike and I never talked about belly buttons for 7.5 years. Let Wendy on the cast, and boom, it's belly buttons. I don't know. Okay. Okay, 1st page. Tell me about the 1st page.
Okay, so the 1st page starts, there's 2 things on her 1st page, neither of which I would read, so that kind of wastes the 1st page. The first part is a summary, and I never read summaries. In fact, when I do resume reviews, I actually have to force myself to read it. My brain automatically just goes...
Skips it.
Waste.
Boom.
Because
it skips it, but let's be clear, skips it and draws a negative conclusion.
Yeah.
Right?
You've just wasted
space.
6 lines.
Yeah. And and I say wasted space, and you say wasted 6 lines, because we think in terms of line control, right? Widow mm-hmm. control, all that sort of stuff, because that's how resumes are done. But it's wasting my time, too.
Yeah.
And there are thousands of places out there that say, don't waste the person's time. They only have 5 or 10 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when I see a summary, you know what I think? Blah, 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 blah. In fact, I could write any one of your summaries. I've told you the story about horoscopes, right? About the Stanford professor who gets in front of the group. Uh-huh. I think it's Stanford. I may be wrong. Gets in front of the group and said, look, let's talk about data and how important data is. Let me show you how valuable data is in horoscopes. And he asks everybody to hold up their hand for what horoscope they are, Virgo, Leo, whatever they are, Scapitarius, whatever. And he asks everyone to turn over their horoscopes, and they read them. And then he asks people to hold up their hands which ones are accurate. And it's like 90% are like, wow, that's totally me this week. And then he asks somebody from the month that's going on, Virgo or Leo or whatever, to read theirs. And the one person stands up and reads the exact same horoscope that everybody
just
has.
Giving
in the room.
It to everybody.
Yeah. So when I see summaries, I'm like, it's just total professional, striving to achieve team results in a collaborative environment with technical expertise, able to meld people to achieve a mission with inspiration and results oriented with metrics and so on. I mean, there are 40 words that monkeys could type.
Every single one.
Yeah. Good. Okay, good.
Yeah. Which is why we don't read them.
I'll tell you something else too. I think it says in the summary, 30 years of experience. Yeah, it does in the first line, 30 years of experience. But then this person says they graduated from Pepperdine later in the resume, but they don't say when. So in other words, they want the benefit of 30 years of experience, but they're fearful that we're going to judge them for having graduated from school too soon. And so therefore they attempt to hide that.
Yeah.
So it's a double negative. You get negative credit for both. Because you want the credit for the 30 while trying to hide from us something else, which undermines the ethics. And I'm done. I'm just done. Yeah. And by the way, from Pepperdine, too, which is a school I really like. And then I see the lack of a year and I go, ugh, bummer.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Okay. So then after her summary, which we haven't read, so we're now a third of the way down the first page without having read anything, she has a list of selected projects and accomplishments. And accomplishments are something that we say that you should have on your resume, but they're not with the jobs that she, because they're separated from the jobs that she achieved them in, they are worthless.
Worthless.
For example, the first one she has says, implemented over 175 virtual Linux servers under ZVM. We'll do the second part of that sentence in a second. But 175 virtual Linux servers, if you did that the first year that Linux servers existed, you were awesome.
Awesome.
If you did that last week, and it's
particularly with 30 years of experience.
Yeah, and it's all automated now. And I don't know that it is, but potentially it is.
Yeah.
And all you did was click the button. I don't care.
Yeah.
So knowing the job with the accomplishment is what gives the accomplishment value.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's worthless.
Further, she goes on to say, contributed significantly.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. In other words, you have to trust me. I'm not willing to tell you when I graduate from school because I'm afraid you're going to judge me. And I don't like judgmental people, so I'm going to leave that off the table. But I want you to believe me when I say significant. So I'm going to use ethics to my advantage by hiding things at times, while at other times expecting you to believe what I say about contributing significantly. And so, look, we're smart. Now, we may not be smart enough to understand the level of significance of the specific technical thing you did, but we expect your resume to be accurate in the sense that it describes exactly what your contribution is. And the fact is, I think the first bullet is two lines long, right?
It has a multitude of things that are wrong with that.
Okay, good.
The thing about contributed significantly, I think, is a high C thing. I'm guessing from the rest of her resume that she's a high C. I think it's a high C thing, but because they cannot say specifically 99.9% I contributed X number of dollars.
Therefore, they abstract it up a little.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they go too far.
Yeah.
It's fine to say I contributed $500,000 if the actual number is somewhere between 400,000 and, no, 450,000 and 550,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
$500,000 is fine.
Yes.
Your inability to be exact abstracts it so far that it lacks value.
Good point. Yeah. And look, the whole point of accomplishments is to see how big they are and how valuable they are. I'm going to say that again. How big they are and then how valuable they are. Devoid of that context, what you were saying, they don't have the value because we can't place them. None of these accomplishments are great if they happened. I don't think. I went through all of them. There might have been one that would stand out. But would I read 15 accomplishments hoping to find one? Never in a billion years would I. None of them are so great that if they happened in the last 2 or 3 years, I would go, wow.
No.
And because I don't have any context, I'm not going to assume, she did all this in the first year. We don't have time to give you the benefit of the doubt. We're not going to assume in your benefit. So remembering the idea, let's get an interview out of the resume. No way we're going to give a resume. Yeah.
No. Okay.
Okay.
So.
And by the way, you said the first page is wasted. Dude, here's what I think. And now I know some of you don't like that I'm this way, but I believe I'm not more than one standard deviation away from the vast majority of hiring managers, and definitely much like the hiring executives I know. Folks, if you waste your first page, the rest won't get looked at, period.
I agree. I wouldn't put this in front of a hiring manager.
Yeah, if this were a friend, right? We joke. One of our watchwords here is this is what we tell our friends.
Mm-hmm.
what would we tell our friends? If you had one sentence to give this person, we're not done going through this explication, but what would you tell them?
Don't send it anyway.
Yeah, it's awful. You would say don't send it because you're nice. And what I would say, oh my God, this is awful. This is awful. And you have a lot of work to do.
It used to be that we all had to buy nice paper to print our resumes on. And we used to have to put them in an envelope with a stamp. And so sending a resume cost.
Yeah.
And I would tell you, don't waste the money. Because...
on a stamp.
On the stamp, exactly. So on the second page, we actually get to her jobs.
Work history, yeah.
The work history with the jobs and the places that she's worked. The first page has months on it. As soon as she gets to 1995, she stops putting months on the dates.
Yep.
Which is a huge no-no. Don't do that. For example...
And folks, you may not like the fact that that is the standard in resumes, but the standard in resumes is months and years. The avoidance of months with no ethical questioning at all is that you're trying to hire someone. We know many of you don't leave off months because you're trying to hide the months. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to say December 95 to January 96. You're not trying to hide it was a one-month job as opposed to a two-year job. We know you're not trying to do that. But there are people who do, and we assume in the negative. So therefore, and the change in the style from months to not months is a red flag.
And I had to fire someone on their first day because they had lied on dates on their resume. And they had no months. And we didn't find that. For some reason, the references didn't come in till late. And she walked in on her first day, ready to start her first job. And I had to say, I'm sorry, you have to leave.
Yeah.
Because your dates aren't right.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And she's had the job for 18 months.
And she's got no accomplishments.
No accomplishments. Now, what she would say is, yes, I do. They're on the first page.
Exactly.
Which
but
ones?
You can't tell them.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't tell which ones. You can't tell... from her description of her role, you can't tell how big her job is.
The size of the job, right.
Yeah, you can't tell where she's supporting a pre-sales team. We don't know how big they are. We don't know how big the solutions are that she's supporting.
We don't know their total sales responsibility. I mean, if it's $1 billion or it's $100 million or it's $50 million, all those things are relevant.
And all those things don't matter in the sense of it's all relative to the job you're looking for. You have to know what those things are. I think sometimes people miss out, like they don't want to say, oh, I'm supporting a sales team of two because they think that two is not a good number. But if the job you're going for is supporting a sales team of five, two is great.
Two is fine.
Yeah.
And to me, I got to tell you, the lack of context. And again, guys, I know I'll be the dark mark here. I draw a conclusion about there is an attempt here to deny me context.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not accusing anyone of an ethical violation. I'm simply saying you can't argue with me. And since you didn't give me the information, I get to assume in the negative. And it caused me to question everything in the resume, which to me is death. Death on the resume.
Yeah. Once you started with things that you're wondering about, you know, why weren't you clear here? That's it. You just look for things that support
your initial conclusion. The only thing that changes is that I call it the Neil Armstrong rule. You think, oh, this is horrible. And then you read, number one salesman in the entire country for 2 years. Okay, I'll give it another 30 seconds. Let's look for things to support that.
Yeah.
But that's never the case.
No,
right?
It's rarely the case.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the other thing that bugs me about this page, the second page of this resume, is there are bulleted lists, which are responsibilities. There are unbulleted paragraphs. The bullets aren't lined up, which sounds like the most nitpicky thing to look at. But the point of the structure of a resume is to make it easy to read. It's to convey a really lot of information, like 30 years worth of information in one or two pages, two if you really have to. And if you don't structure it well, then you can't convey that much information. And
the metadata here is completely misleading.
And
I'll tell you something. For somebody who wants to be perceived as technically bright, the idea that they didn't do some research on a resume and they have repeated bullets that hang over to one extra word on a second line.
Exactly.
I mean, I count 15 lines that we could save, which is a half of a page, basically, because there's what we call a widow. Right, which is one word hanging over to the next line. Or no, maybe it's an orphan. One of them, widow or orphan, I can't remember which. In typesetting, where you go over by line. And line control is really important in resumes, guys. Look, the only reason I kept reading on the second page, because that's what the instructions were, right? Guys, I have a one-page resume. I'm 52 years old. If you think technical stuff is harder to communicate, first of all, it's not. But if you think it is, okay. And you have 30 years of experience, and so therefore you want to give me two pages, okay. I'll give you that. I don't recommend it, but a 30-year resume, which I saw at the bottom of the second page, graduated from Pepperdine in 1982. Okay, fine. But responsibilities and accomplishments have to be together. I have to be able to read responsibilities effortlessly. I should be able, based on the metadata, I'll give you an example. The best way I describe it is this. When you look at a newspaper and you see pictures and you see the type below it, you know that's a caption.
Yeah.
There's words everywhere else on the page, but you know there's a picture and there's a caption. Same thing with every single job. You've got responsibilities and your accomplishments. Responsibilities is a prose paragraph. Accomplishments are bullets. I should be able to read your responsibilities paragraphs in reverse chronological order, actually in chronological order from bottom to top, and I do it based on the metadata, the visual metadata on the resume. I can't get that here.
You can't do it.
And I end up thinking, it's too hard.
Yeah.
It's just too hard.
Exactly.
And I feel if I spend 5 minutes on this and end up saying no, I've shorted some other resumes that are going to be close, the 45 seconds to a minute, three or four of them perhaps, that could make the difference and put them in the yes pile. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's fair in terms of my use of time. Now, guys, we know this is hard. We know it's harsh. Resumes are an artificial reality, just like interviews. But what's the saying? Churchill says democracy is the second worst form of government and all the others are tied for last. Well, it's what we got. Resumes are what we got and we need to be good at them. So. Yeah.
The other thing that she's done on this page, which a lot of people do, is she has one job, which is to 2010 to present, and then other jobs which end at different times within that, which is sometimes when the people have moved jobs within a company that happens, and sometimes when they make a mistake when they've updated their resume quickly. Ooh. And it used to say present, and actually they left and they've added another job. So that just shows that she is either not paying attention, not detail conscious, which is clearly something that she, if she's I see and I'm guessing right, then she would want to be.
Yeah.
It's just a bad sign. This is supposed to be the example of your best work.
Yeah.
And if there's mistakes on it, it makes me think that your everyday work is not any good.
Yeah. Another thing, she in her supervisor role, she talks about having a budget of $2 million. It's not trivial.
No.
But she also talks about maintaining Excel worksheets to manage salaries. That's a level of detail that causes you to have 4 pages. And we expect you to be smarter and to say, 4 pages is too much. I'm reading nothing that says 4 pages is correct. I've got to get to 2, maybe even to 1.5. And folks, if you can get to 1.5, I can take it to 1. You've got to make choices. 1 page or 2 pages or even 4 pages by definition is not you. We know that. So you have to go further than 4. You have to go down to 2 and maybe even, of course, to 1.
Yeah.
And here's the thing for me. It was painful. This resume was painful. I know there are good jobs on here, and IBM doesn't have a bunch of slugs working there. Okay? But I have no idea how well this person did. And if I don't know that, I won't say yes.
Yeah.
Which means if I can't say yes, I say no. Yeah.
Exactly. It's gone.
Yep.
Okay, so the third page has a couple of early jobs and then affiliations, which I can't even describe really. Yeah. It's kind of...
Stuff she did that's quasi-professional, implying that she's technical, which if you read the rest of the resume, you go, oh, yeah, you're way down in the weeds. I'm cool with that. You're smarter than me on this stuff. You've listed every possible piece of software, hardware, middleware, VMware, Fusion, all that's great. And then affiliations. Now, I could have easily seen a couple of bullets on a resume. Now, you and I haven't talked about this. A couple of bullets saying she gave a presentation to an industry group in one of her jobs, that'd have been enough, right? If she was a keynote speaker,
if I can see value in it, I like those less. I would rather see value in terms of dollars or effectiveness.
Right? I'm asking her to move up a step, not to go all the way to the top. Would you rather have affiliations and papers and presentations at the end, or would you rather have 1 to 2 bullets in a 2-page resume that said, gave an industry talk, gave a keynote, whatever?
Yes. In 8 bullets, 6, 7 of which are about dollars and cents.
Yes.
1 that says, I can present in front of a group of people. I'm all for that.
Good.
Yeah, I'm
good,
there.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, I just want to go back to the whole publications thing. Again, academic bent. Maybe not what you intend, but not what I want to see. Unless you're intending to go after an academic job, in which case, great. But then you should have 2 different resumes, 1 for professional and 1 for academic. And as someone wrote me recently, guys, be a little bit kind here. We're trying to be helpful. don't impute to me that I'm saying academics are not professional. I'm making a distinction between commercial slash professional and academic. Because we have a habit of using the word professional. I know academics can be highly professional, and I respect it.
And IBM actually has two tracks. They have a management track and a technical track.
It's called the dual career track. It was invented by IBM and Texas Instruments 50 years ago.
But this person appears to be on the management track. So the fact that
she's supporting sales teams.
She should. Her resume should say management, not technical. And the other thing she has is awards, and I'm not a big fan of awards. Full stop. I know that it's cool that you got. What did she? She was the second place winner of a large HMO IT We Deliver Healthcare contest, which I'm sure was the biggest thing that happened in 2006 in their large HMO, and everybody, you know, walked down the corridors and slapped her on the back. But it doesn't say what it does for the company.
See, I see that entirely differently. I think, Wendy, you're being too hard on her. I think she's a good person. I think this is something she should be proud of. I'm really surprised at you, Wendy Lord, that you would say such a thing. The reason I had a different impression is I didn't read that section because I really couldn't care less. And it contributes to the four-page thing.
Yeah.
And I would love to meet this person and have this person say, you're wrong about me. And for me to bow and say, yes, you're right. You're right. You're awesome, and I would hire you, but not based on your resume.
Exactly. And the other thing about the award section is it's not even in chronological order, which is just, you know, like, And then we have education, and then we have...
The publications.
The whole bunch of technical skills, and then the publications. And the one thing I noticed about the publications, I didn't read all of them, to be fair, but I did read the very last one, which says sharing information using FTP. And the reason I remembered it was because we FTP stuff onto the server. I don't know what that means, but Mike sent
me... File transfer protocol.
Mike sent me a program, and what I do is I open the program and I drag and drop the files onto the program. That's how you move FTP.
Right.
And in 1997, when she taught people how to do it, I'm sure it was a lot more complicated. But that was 15 years ago, and now it's as easy as drag and drop.
Yeah.
And so that thing has no value.
Yeah, it does. Right, exactly.
So,
okay. I'm sure she's a lovely person.
I'm sure she's a wonderful person.
And guys, that's what this is about. You're a lovely person and you have things to offer and your resume, it's just, you know, our resumes are killing us and we need to get them right. And that's why we're doing this.
Exactly.
Okay, next one.
Okay, so the second one is the complete opposite end of the scale.
But you're saying really good, right?
No.
No? Okay, no. Sorry. Well, then.
I mean, opposite in the end of the scale in that it's barely 3/4 of a page.
Okay, but to be fair though, only graduated a couple of years ago from school.
Yeah.
Yeah. As opposed to 30 years.
7 jobs.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, folks, this is Jim Bob Welton. He's a software engineer. Okay. Why, I thought at the top, why he put his name in bold underneath all of his information.
Yeah.
I thought that was really weird. And he has 2 horizontal lines, which I find annoying in virtually all cases, and they don't print well.
And they don't go into applicant tracking systems
as well at all.
No.
And there are 4 lines. There are 4 lines of text. Completely wasted.
Yeah.
Completely wasted.
Yep. And he has titles too, and they waste another.
Titles meaning headers, header titles. But then, to tell you the truth, so did Mamie.
She did. Yeah. There were just too many other things to talk about on her.
Okay, so your first point, I'm sorry, just make it again so we get clear about
it. Okay, so it's too short.
Yeah, even though he's only been out of school, 3 years, I think? He graduated in, 2 years?
Yeah, he graduated in 2010, so it's only 2 years. But like most people, he had a bunch of part-time jobs, he had a bunch of summer jobs. And when you've only just graduated, those jobs are the jobs that show that you can turn up on time, that you can take instruction, that you can be of value to a team.
And there were things that you were doing, and we want to know because you have room on your resume.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because you think they were small jobs, insignificant jobs, they're all that we have to go on and say.
Right.
And they're not insignificant. The admin in the team is usually the person that when she's off on vacation, is the team falls apart.
Yeah. So your first thought was it's too short. My first thought is this resume makes me want to shoot myself in the face. Yeah, okay, it's too short, and a lot of folks are going to defend Jim Bob here and say he's just starting. But guys, it's not that. The dates on this drove me insane. There's titles on the left. All the way justified right are the dates he had jobs. The job dates are mixed together. I almost started handwriting a chronology, which is mind-boggling to me. And the only reason, of course, I would do that is because I had to do it for this cast. Yeah, I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy on the job dates. What jobs did you have when? Why do I have to work to figure that out? Dates go next to job titles. That's what they do. In fact, dates come first. They're the start of every single job entry is the dates you had the job, month and year. I will not work this hard. And I gave the resume an F. Now, I will say this. What's funny about that is we get resumes that are worse than this for college graduates, right?
Yeah.
For recent college graduates.
Oh, yeah. I've seen
and
worse.
It's still an F. So, yeah, an F plus. Let's call it an F plus. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, we've just kind of said this, but he is on his first job out of college, but that doesn't mean that he can't have responsibilities and accomplishments.
But he misleads us inadvertently by highlighting two jobs. He lists a bunch of jobs in the middle that are just jobs.
Yeah.
I think he's saying college level jobs. He lists a bunch of just single line jobs like tutor and admin and HR admin assistant and so on.
Yeah.
The implication, because he's a recent graduate, is those things happen in school.
Yeah.
But he breaks out two jobs. One is Singapore Press Holdings Limited intern, which he had while he was in school.
Yeah, and that should be in that group.
Either
right?
It's in that group or it's not in that group in terms of the metadata. And then he has the job that he clearly appears to, I mean, I'm assuming, because it starts in May 2010, his job is a software engineer. Now, I actually like his current job, at least in principle. He got a job right out of school. He's a software engineer. But then again, of course, the job falls all apart because all it has is bullets in it. I can't tell what he was responsible for in his intern job. He says he developed a complete front and back end web system. Okay, great. The implication is, I did this. Okay, were you responsible for it? Was that something extra? It said. Then he also says coordinated with different stakeholders. You need to tell me what your job was and then how well you did it, what your responsibilities were, and then your accomplishments related to that. And as an intern, we don't expect you to have kick-butt accomplishments,
no,
don't we?
No,
do we?
No. And I think that's why people struggle with internships. It's like, I just did what someone told me. Okay, well, what did they tell you to do and how well did you do it? What was the standard they expected?
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just photocopying things.
Yeah, and the software engineering job, I mean, four bullets. He automated something. He fulfilled requirements. But it doesn't tell me what his job was in enough detail, what the job was, what projects he was supporting, how big they were, how germane they were to the core of the business. I don't know.
And even as an entry-level software engineer, you still have the fundamental IT project time, budget, scope.
Yeah.
Things that you need to meet.
Right, the metrics.
Metrics, that's the word I was looking for. So, you know, even if the thing that you've been given to do is an hour, a task that is going to take an hour on according to the project plan, did you take less than an hour to do it?
Yeah. How many of your deadlines did you meet?
Exactly.
And a lot of people say, well, I don't have that. Okay, fine, but start there anyway. Come up with the stuff that you have, and now let this be a lesson to you. Don't go through the rest of your career not keeping track of the deadlines that you met or didn't meet.
Everybody has deadlines. Even if the deadline is, my boss didn't come and say, have you done that yet? That's the deadline. Right. The deadline is the moment when your boss comes after you.
Yeah, so I rejected this resume simply because I'm not going to work this hard. I'm not going to jump back and forth from the right column to the left column and try to marry this up and say, oh, he did this and then he did that and he did part of it and then this happened and then I think he did this, but I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, there's just not enough on there. People with not a lot of experience have to be able to show that they're bright and work hard and understand the fundamentals of business. And that doesn't come across on this resume. And then it will be gone.
Yeah. And what's funny about it is so many resumes that are short like this, there is an interest in many people to fill up a page.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't even do that.
Even
and it's like
that.
Three quarters of the page.
It's like, you could have used the rest of the page and give us some hints.
And I'm going to say again, I'm sure you're a lovely person, and I bet there's a lot to like there, but I can't tell it, and if I don't have a lot to like, and if your resume works against you, I'm going to say no because I have 100 to look at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So those are our first two. We're nice people, folks. Honestly, we are. We really, actually, I enjoyed doing this just because it was an opportunity to share with our audience. But your resume's got to be good. And there's a format, and it's, look, we've got a cast. It's called Your Resume Stinks. Read it, listen to it. Let us know how we can help.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Please check out the forums. There's a lot of managers and professionals there with lots of experience who have seen a lot of resumes and be happy to give you some guidance. I'm sure they'll even accept looking at your resume if you email it to them. www.manager-tools.com/forum. Thanks.
Bye.